Because you can handle the truth.
Sincerity doesn't fear investigation. We never know where truth actually is. We're always striving to reach out for it. It's a constant process. I cannot be sure that with all the conclusions that I've made, I'm correct. I mean, maybe I'm wrong at times, but that's still no reason to put people in prison.
Of course.
All right, are we going to get on?
Yeah. Well, okay. I don't hear the music. She's in Newport. She just needs to get with it here. Well, I don't know. I have no idea where she's at. I don't know whether I'm on the air. All right. Hello, friend. I'm hearing an echo. It is Tuesday, June 5th. It's June 5th. This is Deanna Spingola, and this is Spingola Speaks. I am still on RBN, despite many misconceptions to the contrary. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today, and thanks for listening to RBN in what is now Studio B. To see the lineup for Studio A and B, please click on the word schedule and the RBN banner at the top of the page at republicbroadcasting.org. RBN is still working on getting the glitches out of the new schedule and the additions to the stream, so please be patient during this process. If any of the listeners have a recording of my second hour from yesterday, please call 512-246-9549. To see the guest schedule for this program, please visit the radio schedule page at spingola.com. You may see a list of the guests together with links to their websites. I also have an email list that one may join to receive a weekly announcement of the scheduled guest and any other special announcements. I have linked it to today's date. For questions or comments during the program, please email spingola1@yahoo.com. My regular email is deanna@spingola.com, which I do not access during the program. I will take calls in the second hour at 877-488-5350. Our guest today is Garamar Rudolph. His website is garamarrudolph.com. He is the author of the very recent book. In fact, it came out in April of this year. And the name of that book is Resistance is Obligatory. And it's a fabulous book. I already have it. I think I must have been one of the first people that purchased it. And you can purchase that book from the Barnes Review. And I recommend that you do that. It is, as I say, a fabulous book. I have not finished it, but just thus far, I know it's a great book. He is the editor of Dissecting the Holocaust, The Growing Critique of Truth and Memory. And that came out in 2003. And he is also, he has the Rudolph Report. And what else have you written or edited or compiled?
Oh, I have a list of it actually on my website, and I think we have some 200 or 250 items.
Wow.
I'm not going to list them all. Not all of them are books. The majority are magazines.
Okay, we do have to go to a quick break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsor. Thank you.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in seven different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Geremar Rudolph. His website is GeremarRudolph.com, and of course it is linked on the radio schedule page. And you were talking about your website and that you have a list of all of the things that you've written, and it amounts to like 250 items, which is absolutely amazing. You're quite young. But you have apparently been very busy doing this and doing research and bringing it forth, and you've suffered as a consequence of your activities, and you were incarcerated. Can you tell us just a little bit about that?
A little bit, yeah. Well, 30 seconds, so 30 minutes or 30 hours?
Just a little bit, like when... How it happened, and how long, and where?
Questioning the Orthodox Holocaust narrative in Germany is a crime, and as soon as you question it, you'll get yourself in trouble, consequently. I was asked by lawyers to prepare an expert report in a trial of a guy who had, quote-unquote, denied the Holocaust. And in my conclusions, that was an entirely forensic, scientific work, I concluded that eyewitness accounts cannot be correct regarding mass gassings in Auschwitz. And as a result of that, I got prosecuted, eventually got sentenced. Didn't want to serve the term, also because in the meantime, I had published numerous other works for which I was being prosecuted as well, further research, so to say. Everywhere where I published something, the police showed up and confiscated things. So eventually I left the country trying to find a safe haven abroad, eventually ended up in the United States and applied for political asylum here, which was ill-fated. I was eventually, end of 2005, arrested in spite of my having married by that time a U.S. citizen and having that marriage recognized as genuine. But that was no reason for the authorities here in this country to deport me. So I got deported back to Germany, had to serve my old time, my first term, which was 14 months, and got whacked with another trial and verdict, a sentence of another 30 months. Which came on top of it. So all in all, 44 months that I had to serve in Germany. At the 1 month that I was in deportation proceedings here in the United States makes it 45 months. Curiously, the second trial was for publications I had written, authored, published, distributed while I was abroad and in the United States and in the United Kingdom. And in both countries, these activities were completely legal. The Germans have extended the reach of their penal system worldwide. Whoever they can get hold of doing something which is perfectly legal where they're doing it get punished in Germany anyhow. So that was, in brief, my story of incarceration.
Interesting. So the same people that are ruling in Germany seem to have some influence in other countries that have not criminalized what the activities that you were involved in. So that is very significant, in my opinion. So you give us a little bit about your background. You mentioned the scientific evidence that you produced, that you presented. So give us a little bit about your educational background.
I studied chemistry in Germany, ended up with what the Germans call a diploma chemist, which is a little bit between an American master's degree and a PhD degree. To some degree, it's almost closer to a PhD degree, but in Germany, it's just something considered underneath it. And then I went for a PhD studies, got a scholarship from the Max Planck Institute for Solid State Research, and was working on that while parallel to this, I was then asked to prepare an expert report, which was my private work and nothing to do with my PhD research. And so I was kind of preparing two theses at the same time, the official one, which was in theoretical crystallography, ivory science, at a highly reputed German research institute. And in private, I was just doing this forensic historical research. And the one thesis annihilated the other one, so to say, because of my getting into legal trouble, the university of Stuttgart, which was supposed to give me the PhD thesis, eventually denied me the final exam because of my having been sentenced. So I didn't get the PhD. Some people still call me Dr. Rudolph, but the formal criteria were not fulfilled because I was not allowed to pass the final exam. But my thesis is ready. I actually posted it on my website, both my master thesis and my PhD thesis. I translated it into English while I was in prison. I had the time to do that, so it's now online. That is the background. So as a chemist, I was asked to do chemical research on the question of whether or not it is possible to prove with chemical, with analytical means, if poison gas was used in Auschwitz to kill people.
And you did this, and you presented that evidence, and how did that help the defendant in the particular case that you were testifying in?
Well, as a matter of fact, I did not present it. I'm only a witness, but in Germany and in many countries, the Holocaust is self-evident, which means there is no proof required to undergird that the Orthodox narrative is true. So the courts actually interpret that as it being not even permitted to introduce evidence to the contrary. In the meantime, actually, it started in 1996 that the German case law developed into a direction where it's now actually prohibited to ask in a court of law during proceedings to even ask for the introduction of evidence that could partially or completely refute aspects of the Orthodox Holocaust narrative. So if a lawyer tries to file a motion, and I had that in my own case then in 2006 and 2007, tries to file a motion trying to prove that my views, my analytical research, my historical research is correct, he, at that very moment, when he files a motion, commits a crime of denying the Holocaust again in court. And these people, actually, lawyers went into prison or got fined for doing exactly that. And as a consequence, no court of law in Germany ever accepts any evidence that is contrary to the official story. So my expert report was never accepted by any court because of that ruling.
Oh, my goodness. That's unbelievable. So it doesn't matter. It's just that they accept that the Holocaust is that it happened, and there is nothing, no evidence, no scientific facts, nothing that anybody can present that would oppose that view.
That's
and
correct.
If they do, they will be put into jail.
As a matter of fact, I have done quite some research on earlier German trials. They started right after the war, still under Allied occupation, before the Federal Republic was even established, and went into the time of the Federal Republic of Germany. And right from the beginning, the courts always rejected testimony or evidence that was not supporting the orthodox narrative. They rejected it as irrelevant, since it's an evidence introduced which does not support the story, cannot contribute to finding out the truth, which was set in stone right from the start. It is rejected as irrelevant. It wasn't actually penalized of introducing such evidence, but it was simply said, well, it's irrelevant. That doesn't prove what we already know to be true. Therefore, it's irrelevant. It's wrong or whatever. But nowadays, it's actually more than that. It's actually outlawed to even ask the court to introduce any evidence that contradicts the officials.
So basically, there is no equality before the law in Germany.
No, truth is set in stone, and you have no right to defend yourself, basically. I mean, you can defend yourself by saying, I didn't do it, but how can you do it if your name's on a publication? It's ridiculous. So getting a court to accept that you actually have the right to defend yourself on the matters of the deed, the facts of the deed, so that my claims are correct, is impossible in Germany. It's a dogma, a state dogma, and you cannot challenge it.
Now, this was true back in 1945 also with the Allied occupation?
Well, if you look into the proceedings, they are talking about the International Military Tribunal or the Nuremberg Tribunals or other tribunals which were conducted by the victorious powers. Legal constraints there were even worse. You've had forced witnesses, you had torture, you had show trials to an extreme degree. Today, the legal framework is much more sophisticated. There is no torture anymore. There is no obvious forgery of documents, which happened back right after the war as well. So the way truth was established during the first years after the war with the Allied tribunals can basically be understood if you look into the Charta, the rules that the courts themselves gave, the Allied it's the London agreement that basically it was Article 19 or 21, basically says that anything that the court deems to be appropriate can be accepted as evidence, and anything that is self-evident and known already to be fact cannot be challenged, is accepted right away as truth. For instance, if the Soviet Union, which wasn't exactly a country that was abiding by rules of law, introduced some propaganda report claiming all sorts of atrocities committed by Germans, it had to be accepted as evidence without being able to challenge it.
All righty, we do have to take a break. We will be back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors. Thank you.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. Herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Garamar Rudolph, and he was explaining about the I don't want to call it the justice system in Germany, because it certainly isn't, but it is just amazing to me. Do you think that, and of course you were talking about how the Allies kind of set a precedent with the trials right after the war, and then we do know that that Germany was occupied for, what, up until 1952, and there are some people who say that Germany is still under occupation. And I believe that a certain ethnic group of people after World War I wanted to establish a world tribunal, and they were not successful at that point, but they did manage to establish one now that basically seems to have a great deal of influence over not just Germany, but in America and in Canada and in other places.
Sure.
But, unbelievable.
That's coming back to Germany. How independent is Germany? Germany, the modern Germany today, is a creation by the Allied victorious powers. And as we know, there used to be two Germanys. The Western powers created their part, and the Eastern, the Soviet Union, their part. And Germany became a little bit of independence. It got a little bit of independence back in 1955, and had the choice to become completely independent then when it got reunified in 1990, but then they voluntarily waived a number of sovereign titles that normal nations do, trying to appease the victorious powers, basically eternalizing the state of being an occupied country. So the Allied occupational forces are still in Germany. They still enjoy a lot of privileges that they have in no other country. And
of course, the U.S. Still has bases there, too.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's true for many countries. I think the United States has bases in two-thirds of all the countries in the world.
Sure, I think
all the countries are occupied. But no, it goes farther than that. That, for instance, the Allied powers have actually the right to keep up their spy network, access to the German telecommunications, and this and that. So it goes well beyond that. And, of course, we need to remember that we still have Articles 53 and 107 of the United Nations. The United Nations basically is, by its origin, the assembly of the enemy nations of Germany and its allies. And everybody who wanted to join the United Nations while the war was still being waged had to kind of agree to eating Germany to pulp. And that, after the war, didn't really change much. If you look into the Articles 53 and 57, it's the enemy nation articles, which basically say that all the rights that sovereign nations have under the United Nations Charter are null and void when it comes to Germany. They reserve the rights, the victorious powers, to go back to war against Germany whenever they want, if they feel like Germany does any politics of revisionism or revanchism. So there you have it right there, Germany being under constant threat of hostilities being reinitiated as soon as it turns in any way disfavorable or disagreeable to the former victorious powers. That's one of the reasons, I think, too, psychologically, why the German government does everything to stamp out anything that could look like revisionism or revanchism. World opinion is looking with keen eyes on Germany, what they are doing.
Well, obviously, somebody has it in for Germany and has had for a very long time. I mean, they've been the target of the Allies since 1897, and even before. But I think it was formalized in 1897. And this is, and to hear you say that it is actually legalized kind of helps to understand why they are so efficient in keeping revisionists from doing their research.
That's right.
My. Well, that is very interesting. And what happens in Germany basically affects the mentality that people have elsewhere. Because if they can come into America and deport a person of a German person back to that country, even in the case of Ernst Sindel, who had lived in Canada for so long, and yet they had the ability, the people who are running Germany, the people who are running things in Canada, the people who are running things in America, actually had the ability and the power to deport him.
Yes, well, Ernst Sindel's story is a little bit of a tragedy because Ernst Sindel made a mistake that gave them an opportunity to do what they're doing. But they don't depend on mistakes like that because in my case, I took care that I don't make the mistake and at the end the same happened. They just faked it.
Wow. All righty, we do have to go to a break. We will be right back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Hey, John.
What do you need, Steve?
Can you spare any diesel fuel?
Maybe. What do you have to offer?
How about this $5 gold piece?
What the heck am I supposed to do with that?
Come on, man. I'm your neighbor.
What else you got?
Well, I've got some heirloom squash seed.
Any zucchini? Dark green?
Yes, of course. I've got a Texas Ready Liberty seed bank.
How much diesel fuel did you say you need?
I could really use a gallon.
Yes, folks, it's not called seed money for nothing. At Texas Ready, we've thought of the big stuff and the little stuff, so you can think of the other stuff. We've got you covered from beans to barter. Order today at TexasReady.net or call 832-493-1357. That's 832-493-1357. TexasReady.net. Are you Texas Ready?
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Our guest today is Guillermar Rudolph. His website is GuillermarRudolph.com. And on his website, he has it is what is called air photo evidence. If you go into the May archives, you can download some PDF files. There are two of them that you can download that cover a very interesting thing about the photos that were taken by the Allies at a very significant period of time. Guillermar, would you like to talk about that?
Yes, first, I want to mention that my last name is spelled with an F. Most people think Rudolph should be spelled with a PH, so if you type in Rudolph with a PH, you won't go anywhere, so it's Rudolph with an F.
GuillermarRudolph.com.
Air photo evidence. When we are talking about evidence in general, we should know what the significance is of various kinds of evidence. When we're talking about the Holocaust, most evidence that we are confronted with whenever we encounter the Holocaust in the media or in politics, in science, in historiography, is eyewitness testimony. And eyewitness testimony is fallible. For a number of reasons. Now, today in particular, if you have an eyewitness today, 70 years after the event, you cannot expect a person that is 80 years plus old to remember accurately what happened back then. But even right after the war,
There can be a number of reasons why witness statements can be wrong. Documentary evidence is another issue that is can be more reliable, but if it's from a bureaucracy that has a certain intention, it may actually be misleading. Now, if photos are documents themselves too, but they're not documents prepared by some pencil pusher in an office with an intent to cover his behind or to cover up whatever a government likes to cover up or to push for. Air photos are made by reconnaissance airplanes, in particular when we're talking about wartime, during wartime, over enemy territory or in frontline areas, and they accurately photograph what's going on the ground. And when we're talking about the Holocaust, we're talking about certain camps and certain sites where mass murder has been claimed to have been committed by German forces. And one in particular that is most famous or infamous is, of course, the Auschwitz camp in Poland. There have been, since April or May 1944, numerous sorties of Allied reconnaissance planes to photograph the area around Auschwitz for the simple reason that it's a very important, it used to be a very important German industrial area, straddling the border between Germany and Poland at that time. And because it had been out of the reach of the British bombers until American forces moved into Italy, it was developed with a fast pace by the Germans, thinking that they can produce their industrial supplies and weaponry and ammunition there without interference by British bombers. Now, once the Americans had set up their air bases in Italy, this area came into reach, and the Americans, also Canadians, were making intensive reconnaissance sorties and photographing the whole area. And the Auschwitz camp actually is very close by to a very important industrial plant there that was producing artificial rubber and artificial petroleum, which is a very important war decisive product. So the Allies were keen on bombing that plant, and by photographing the area, they accidentally, more or less, photographed at camp two, where, as is claimed today, up to a million people or even more are said to have been murdered. And the first time that photos of these Allied reconnaissance missions were published was actually at the end of the 70s and 79, and of all corporation as well, actually the CIA that published some of the photos in a small brochure trying to undergird the claim that the Auschwitz-Birkenau camp in particular served as a location of mass murder. And the book that I have now posted online, Air Photo Evidence, is a much more thorough analysis of many more photos, not just Auschwitz, other places of alleged mass murder as well. And is also scrutinizing the claims the CIA made back in 1979. And it has had, back when it was published by the Canadian geologist John Ball, he published that book in 1992. It's called simply Air Photo Evidence. It steered quite some interest because it was the first time that air photo evidence showing clearly what was going on the ground, what was not, was presented to the public and explained and put into context. Unfortunately, the publication was not reissued because John Ball, as all people touching the topic the wrong way, so to say, got himself in trouble and eventually withdrew from public. We've actually lost any trace of him. He may have actually changed his identity to avoid further persecution. And his book has never been put online, and it's been out of circulation. So I thought I'd just post it and make it available again to everybody so that they can judge for themselves what really was going on the ground during those fateful summer months of 1944 and the Germans are said to have killed up to 500,000, mainly Hungarian Jews, in the Auschwitz camp.
Well, what a wonderful thing this is that you have put this online, and you mentioned the CIA, and did the CIA try to, of course, they weren't out to prove the truth. Did they actually add to these photos to make it look like something was going on that actually wasn't?
John Ball has analyzed these photos, and of course it's very, very strange that of all the groups that could publish such a work, the CIA would do it, so that stings already. Because the CIA most certainly doesn't have a track record of being a scholarly or scientific association. So, yes, he did find some suspicious markings, which weren't clear whether they are or are not. He thinks it is, for him, clear that they are additions that cannot have been in the original. Now, I'm not an expert in airport evidence, and I would just say I agree with him that at least what is shown there cannot be what the CIA claimed. But in one spot in particular of this one photo that has a relatively good resolution, you can see that things were manipulated, and that is the smoking gun, so to say. There is a group of prisoners the CIA claims is marching to the gas chamber. Now, the problem with that group of prisoners is that they are marching over the roof of one of the inmates' lodging huts. Now, that's quite impossible, of course, for a group of prisoners to walk over the roof of a hut of one of the barracks there.
That is rather ridiculous.
That's a mistake that happened. And the problem is there are a number of air photos showing the same camp. And in earlier photos, this building had not been there. It had been added by the Germans during some weeks in August or September. And so I guess the CIA was trying to patch in some things here and there, and then they copied it on that picture too, not realizing that the Germans in the meantime on the ground had built an additional building. And so this prisoner inmate group was suddenly running across the building. So that's probably the background, and that's how you can catch them. Now, another thing is they try to prove that there are introduction hatches in the roofs of one of the morgues of, or two of the morgues, one of the morgues of two crematoria. Now, the background of that is that the morgues of the crematoria, according to the Orthodox law, are supposed to have been used as gas chambers, and that Zyklon B, the poisonous product, is supposed to have been thrown through hatches through the roof into these underground molds. Now, according to eyewitnesses, they were rather small, and you shouldn't be able to see them on the air photos because the resolution is not high enough. Now, what the CIA claims is on some of these photos, they're clearly visible. They are patches, black marks on the roofs, and they say these are the hatches. Now, the problem with them is that they are way too big. If you put them in context of the actual buildings, they are some 2 to 3 meters long. They go the wrong way. If you say, well, that may be the shadow of them, not just the hatches, but you can see the shadow cast, for instance, by the crematorium chimney, you know that it goes in a certain direction, so you know what position the sun is, and these patches, they go the wrong way, so it can't be shadows. They're extremely irregular, cannot be anything geometrical that you would build as introduction hatch. So whatever it is not what the CIA claims. And so at least their claim is false. Now, having caught them with their pants down with the inmates running over the roof is clear evidence they did tamper with those photos that they presented. And so there are a few other things where they probably have faked it too. There's, for instance, another group of prisoners marching along, and you can actually see it's so badly done that there's a zigzag line of a pen that is drawn in. I would say it's such a bad forgery that I refuse to believe that this was done by the CIA officially, or secretly and officially. I mean, the CIA has experts if they wanted to. And, okay, 1979, we didn't have Photoshop or any of this. They had to do it manually. They had to tamper with some pens and some color on the originals or whatever they were doing. So it would have been quite a difficult job, but still. Give me a break. If the CIA could have had had put its manpower and brain power into it, they could have done a much better job. So I think it was just some out of control individuals within the CIA, that is to say probably the authors who did that thing or some people who were working with them that manipulated these photos.
But of course, you know, a lot of people, well, the CIA and other government agencies do a lot of things, and they anticipate that the population won't ever look at the papers, look at the book. I mean, people publish books that that they anticipate nobody's ever really going to read, so that they actually give us their entire agenda, and people, the majority of the population, will never look at those things. And so they get most of their news from just little media clips, and they believe what they hear on the television.
Sure. I mean, you need to look at the context, the historical context. 1979, CIA publishes that. Now, 1978 was the airing of the movie Holocaust, which actually brought the term Holocaust into general awareness of the American and the world public. It was that movie. And after that, the fire was kept burning by pouring oil in here and there. And that's what the CIA did there too. Obviously, okay, this is now really something that has caught the public's attention because of this propaganda movie. And now we just add our bit in there and we say, yeah, what the movie says is correct. We have the evidence here, photos. And then it's going through the media. It catches the media attention for a second. And then already a few months or a year or so later, some early revisionists in that time, German revisionists called Wilhelm Stieglitz, already criticized the CIA report there and said, well, that's not true. This and this and this cannot be as you claim. But corrections by scholars appearing in some niche publications never get any media attention. So the CIA is only interested in this one big boost of media attention. And if they are being refuted later on, the public won't find out.
Right.
Yet the same thing actually happened again in 2004 when the British sifted through their own national collection of aerial photographs. And I have actually posted that on my posting on Air Photo Evidence in the postscript. They said, well, we have found in a photo of August 23rd, 1944, that our crewman made over Auschwitz, and this confirms the mass murder too. And the one thing why they said it's confirming is because behind one crematory you see a small plume of smoke rising into the sky. And the Orthodox narrative says that during that time, hundreds of thousands of Jews had been or were in the process of being burned on open fires in that area. But if you look actually at the actual facts, what you should have seen if tens of thousands of people were being burned there every day, there must have been huge trenches, huge areas of cloud billowing and covering a huge part of the area. You need to have huge stockpiles of fuel. And what you see is actually a very small spot where smoke is rising. You don't know what it is. Maybe indeed some people died there and the crematorial were out of function. Something was burnt there. It doesn't even have to be corpses. It can be clothes. It can be garbage, whatever it is. It is a small area, and the small area contradicts absolutely the claim that during that time tens of thousands were murdered and incinerated.
Right.
So there you had a short attention span of the media reporting about it. Even the British found confirmation. You know, that was January, a week before January 27th, 2004. They published that. January 27th, you must know, is the world's only historical memorial day that is supposed to be celebrated by the whole world. And that is Holocaust Memorial Day. That's the day the Auschwitz camp, as they say, was liberated by the Soviets. Actually, if you look into eyewitness accounts, what happened when the Soviets entered Birkenau or Auschwitz, you must say the camp was occupied by the Soviets. They came in there, they raped the female inmates and went on a rampage. So the Auschwitz inmates, when the Soviets came, were not liberated. They were just they changed their prison, their guards. Anyway, just coming up, 2004, this day of the anniversary of the Auschwitz liberation, it was declared a Memorial Day only a year later by the United Nations. 2004 it wasn't yet, but 2004, January, liberation of Auschwitz always attracts media attention. And the British were just pouring in a little bit oil into the frenzy of this year's or that year's commemoration activities by saying, we have evidence that it did happen. Of course, when you analyze it, it says it proves the exact opposite of what they claim. You don't see any trace of huge-scale open graves or incinerations of fuels or smoke.
Right. All righty. We do have to go to a 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. Herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Our guest today is Guillermo Rudolph. That's R-U-D-O-L-F. His website is GuillermoRudolph.com. And you mentioned earlier about the timing. You talked about the Holocaust miniseries, which was on NBC, I believe. And it was, you know, it was quite a quite a star-filled series, and that brought the attention of the population here in America to the Holocaust, and that's where the word kind of developed. And just before that, you had an individual by the name of Frank Collin, who was attempting to head the Nazi march in Skokie, which is a big enclave of people who claim to be Holocaust victims. And that is where he wanted to have his Nazi march. The only problem is that Frank Collin's actual name was Frank Cohen, C-O-H-E-N. So that basically, the whole Nazi march in Skokie was a Jewish operation. And it's very interesting, just about everything that this group did was announced on the television night after night after night. And then, of course, you had the 1979 Carter Holocaust Commission, which brought about the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum, which the taxpayers fund at about $400 million a year.
Yep, and so it goes on.
It indeed
does. False flag operations. I don't know the history of the Skokie events. What I do know, we have had similar events. I remember in the early years of post-war Germany, there were Nazi slogans and swastikas sprayed at some point, and that resulted in the first revision of German penal law, penalizing incitement to racial hatred and to anti-Semitism. And it turned out later on that it was a false flag operation by the communists. I think it was from the Czechoslovakian communist secret service, most certainly directed by the KGB, by the Soviets. And then again, I think it was in the late 80s or early 90s, we had a similar event in France, where there were swastikas smeared and slogans sprayed on a Jewish cemetery, which led to the introduction of the first dedicated anti-denial, anti-revisionist laws. And that was most certainly a false flag operation, in that case probably from Jewish groups themselves. So, yeah, things like that do happen, and
I think go ahead.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, a secret service that can't pull off false flag operations is probably not worth a shot of powder. So why are they secret, you know? That's what they're doing.
Indeed. All righty, we do have to take our 60-second top of the hour break. We will be right back after station ID with our guest today, Geremar Rudolph. Stay tuned.